Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Boston Red Sox back in the playoffs for the first time since 2021, and you can talk about that all day long, all the way up until first pitch on the Shaw's and Star Market Red Sox Radio Network at 6:08 this evening. And right now, we will talk with Craig Breslow about everything Red Sox related, get an update on Lucas Giolito and on Alex Bregman and all other things with Craig Breslow coming up in a half an hour at 9. But right now, Ty Law on a Ty Tuesday brought to you by Corvus Vodka, the official vodka of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. By your New England Chevy dealers, together let's drive. By Apex Entertainment, visit 100,000 square feet of pure fun at Apex in Marlboro. And by 110 Grill, visit one of the 34 locations throughout New England for modern American cuisine in a trendy, casual atmosphere. Good morning, Ty Law.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Well, we're doing great. Patriots did great on Sunday. The argument that I heard throughout the day yesterday was big whoop. They beat up on a really bad Carolina Panthers team. How do you feel about that?
And I will double down on that. And look, it is a great win. Don't get me wrong, but you're supposed to beat down a team like the Carolina Panthers. I think that's going to breed confidence within the locker room. As I said before, we got us a quarterback, man. Man, Drake May is efficient. I love the way he plays. He spreads the ball around. He uses his legs. We got us a damn quarterback. I want to repeat myself again. I know I said it last week, but you're supposed to beat a team like the Carolina Panthers. And if you didn't beat them by this type of margin, you're not very good yourself. So they did exactly what they're supposed to do.
And, Ty, not only do they have a quarterback, they also had a cornerback out there in Christian Gonzalez. So how'd you think he looked his first game back?
He was a little rusty as expected, but I think, you know, just his presence alone is going to help the overall team and especially the defense. I think they still have some holes back there. And he's going to be the guy once he gets his feet up under him. He's going to make a huge impact. But he was a little rusty. I did see that.
Ty, finally, we didn't have an issue when it came to turnovers. Do you feel like that's just because it was against Carolina, or do you think Mike Vrabel's figured out a secret sauce to get them all on the same page and have them turn the page on that issue?
Well, probably a secret sauce is the threat. If you fumble again, you ain't going to get the ball no more. You ain't going to play. So, I mean, that's enough threat right there, because I know that's the type of guy Mike Vrabel is, because he's from the Bill Belichick mode. And if you turn the ball over and if you give him back the ball, especially as a runner or a pass catcher, you fumble, you won't get the ball. So that's enough threat in itself. So I don't think it's a secret sauce. It's an individual thing when you turn the ball over like that. But I mean, this is it's a great win. Don't get me wrong, but I want to see it against a better team.
Well, he certainly didn't adopt that philosophy this week, because he went right to Ramondre Stevenson first play of scrimmage offense wise.
Oh yeah, that's to prove a point. Hey, I believe in you and I trust you, but guess what? Do it again. That was one of them things. You bet not do it again. That's what, you know, how your mama just, you know, put leave some cookies in the cookie jar and say you bet not, you know, touch the cookie. It's up to you if you touch the cookie or not. You know what I mean? Or she might just give it to you to see what you're going to do with it, see if you're going to lie to her. So yeah. Basically, Mike Vrabel, it was a psychological thing, say, because you don't want him to lose confidence. But at the same time, you want to make it a point that, say, we can't depend on you, so I'm going to give you the ball again. Show me what you can do. So, I think that's good coaching right there. Give him the ball early.
Ty, when you look at this team, if they could continue this through the next several weeks, and I've asked this question before, I've brought it up, they'll be in a position where they could have a very good record right before the trade deadline. Is that the point in time when I know I say we, but is that the point in time where they have to make a legitimate move, and I'm going to keep beating this drum until they do it, go out and get a legitimate number one wide receiver if they're in a position where, say, they're 6-3 come, you know, right before the trade deadline?
My question is, how are you going to get a legitimate number one wide receiver? Who's out there? Who's available? What are you going to give up? And that's the thing, like, do they have any assets to give up to get that so-called number one wide receiver? The good thing is that we've seen a little flashes of the old Stephon Diggs. He had 100 yards. You know what I mean? So they're winning without that right now. And we won in the past without having those 1,000-yard receivers. Of course, we had Tom Brady. But again, Drake May is showing that he is Tom Brady-esque when it comes to, you know, spreading the ball around and making the right plays. So I don't think you necessarily have to have a number one to be successful, but I think you will be a lot more successful if you did. But Stephon, he had a pretty good game. And anytime you get 100 yards in as a receiver, that breeds more confidence and brings out that swag that we're used to seeing him have. So hopefully he can continue that.
Ty, obviously you just said that you want to see what they can do against a better team. They'll have that this weekend with the Bills. You want to win, but obviously you're the underdog. What would be a successful game for them if they can't get a W?
Because it's a rivalry within the division and had all this history. Damn it, a win. And we ain't gonna go that. We ain't gonna do that, Coco. We ain't gonna say, hey, go out there and have a good game. It's a win for the team. Oh hell no, this is the Buffalo Bills. You got to go out there and whoop their ass. I mean, so I'm not going to give them, you got to have a good game, and if you keep it close because it's Josh Allen, because of the Buffalo Bills and all the hype, you got to go out there and win, and that's the only way, in my opinion, especially because it's within the division.
Ty, do you think Josh Allen is the best quarterback in the NFL right now?
I mean, overall, yes. I think he is the best quarterback in the NFL, but, you know, you got to step up as a defense. I mean, he's playing all around good football. We know what type of talent he is, but I also think that Drake May, you know, some may disagree, but I think he's playing top 10 quarterback right now because of what he's working with. You know what I mean? And he's young. So I believe in the quarterback that we have, and the team must believe that we have a quarterback. Yeah, he may not be Josh Allen, but we have us a quarterback, too. And if we step up and play as a team, we can take down anybody, especially the Buffalo Bills.
Tyler,
you got to go in there basically with saying, I ain't respecting y'all ass today. Hey, it's time to play.
Ty, I give the Bills, I think they're a good football team. But the thing I've said this before, the thing I've noticed this year about football is there's so much parity. Like, I don't think there's a dominant team in the NFL that the Patriots should be scared of. Okay, so I was going to ask, do you feel that same way?
I feel the exact same way. There is no one that is playing dominant football. We all thought in the preseason, we had Baltimore, hey, they got to be an AFC championship. We had Kansas City. I mean, ain't nobody looking great right now. So it is early in the season. You would think some of those veteran teams would have figured it out and it would carry over, but obviously it didn't. Some of the younger teams and the younger quarterbacks, they're getting better. So I love it, and I think it's good for the game that it's a lot of parity and all the expectations of the elite guys, the name guys, the all pros, the big money guys. They're just looking – some of them looking like average players at this point. You know what I mean? So I think that's good for the league. But no one is standing out, and I think that you can't really predict
– Does that money go in the swear? Does that go in the swear jar or the cookie jar?
That one goes in the swear jar. I mean, we getting it going, man. Hey, Greg, we got something that we're gonna do. I'm saying it right now. Every tailgate now for the Corvus tailgate, we're gonna do the swear jar for the Greg Hill Foundation. So come on to the Corvus tent. You know, say what you got to say, and it's going to a good cause. So we're gonna curse for a cause at the tailgate for the Greg Hill Foundation.
I got to tell you, we had a fantastic time at the event with you on Saturday. And you know who really enjoyed it is our boss, Len. Len.
Yeah, I know. Hey, I had too much for it, but I said, Len, I said, damn, when you sit there and say something, I'm like, oh, man, that was the second time I did that because I called a friend of mine. I called him Rob, and he was Tom. I said the Corvus was flowing, guys, so I apologize. Hey, I apologize about that, kid. I mean, that could be our thing. We can call you Len when we're messing with you, man. But, my apologies, and I hope that don't mess up the negotiations.
You just referred to him as a friend, so I think that makes up for it.
I mean, it's a good thing. Going into any negotiation, it's good to know the other person's name.
Absolutely, man. But, hey, I just wanted to say thank you guys for showing up, too, man. You know, Greg, we finally got you out. You know, Greg, man, it was big. Wiggy, as always, Coco came, and y'all just stopped through. So I really appreciate the support and the friendship, guys, man. It means a lot.
It is time for the most entertaining play of the game, brought to you by Apex Entertainment. Visit 100,000 square feet of pure fun at Apex and Marlboro. What do we got? What's on the list? What do you guys think?
The Drake May touchdown to Hunter Henry was great.
The
punt return. Yeah, I was going to go
punt return. Yeah, punt return. Punt return.
That's all that. Then he almost had another. I thought the second one that he almost got, that was just as entertaining, even though he didn't make it to the end zone, man. We got us a punt returner right there. And if he stays around and stays healthy long enough, it's going to be some records falling when it comes to that, special teams. Here in New England, man. I mean, that boy can play, man. Hey, Jones, he can get down. He can run.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think we got your Drake take, which is presented by your New England Chevy dealers. Together, let's drive. But from your perspective, even four games in on this season, Drake May is the guy.
He is the guy. He's proven himself. This is his second year when people – you know, when quarterbacks tend to either they make progress or they regress in the second year, as you know that, Wiggy, because now when you're a rookie, you really don't have that much to lose. We're trying to see and trying to figure out. This is a different level. But for Drake May to make a step forward, which we've seen some quarterbacks in the past, they took a step back in their second year. I think this is a good sign for New England. Now you got to get some pieces around him so he can continue that success. But I think we finally have our successor to Tom Brady.
Mm.
Wow. I think we really do.
I'd agree with that.
You do?
Yeah, I think so. I think Drake May has played extremely well through these first four games. You know, I know there was the game where he had the bad interception, but he'll learn from that. It just his pocket presence,
exactly.
His pocket presence, his ability down, you know, when you get inside the red zone and bootlegs and no one went around. I think, you know, I'm with Ty. Imagine if he had a legit number one. I mean, Ty and I disagree. I don't think Steph Diggs is the same guy no more. He's more of a possession receiver for me. But, you know, if you had a real number one, sky's the limits for Drake May.
Yeah. All right, Ty, thank you.
Absolutely. I didn't say, hold on, Wiggy. Let me correct you. I didn't say he was the old Steph. I say he showed a sign. I mean, I ain't saying he's that guy anymore. You know, let me put that out there. But, you know, you talking about a solid veteran presence, a number two that can probably beat the second or third corner in a one-on-one situation of the opposing team, I think Steph Diggs still has that ability.
Right. I'll give you that one.
Hey, Ty Law, as always, thank you. We will talk to you again next week.
All right, man. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Okay. Craig Breslow, the chief baseball officer of the Boston Red Sox, coming up at 9.
WEEI Afternoons on a Patriots Friday from our beautiful Brighton studios powered by Verizon. The morning after the season that was for your Boston Red Sox. Lose 4-0 in New York, Game 3 of the Wild Card Series. But up next here on WEEI Afternoons, we're going to have our weekly conversation with one of the Patriots coordinators. This week it is Jeremy Springer, the special teams coordinator, brought to you by McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery, as well as expert HVAC services at McFarlandEnergy.com. Coach Springer, how are we doing this week?
I'm doing great, man. How about yourself?
We are great, other than the Red Sox loss, but we don't need to get into that. The Patriots win, Marcus Jones. You know, let's get into the good stuff. It's probably fun to be the special teams coordinator and have Marcus Jones returning punts. Is that safe to say?
Man, I think if you're any coach, any special teams coordinator, when you have the thing, if you have good specialists and you have good returner, it makes your life so much better and easier. And then on top of that, they're all great human beings. Like Marcus is like the best dude ever. Like he's just a great guy. So it's very easy to coach him. To be honest, I don't coach him much because he's such a pro's pro that he kind of handles his business and he does what he does. And there's a reason why he's a captain on the team.
So, Jeremy, obviously you're a big energy guy, and that's a high-energy special teams unit you have there. I wanted to ask you, what does it mean to you personally and as a coach to see your special teams be the spark to basically not just lead a turnaround but inspire a victory? Because Pats came out a little flat last Sunday. Defense gave up the early touchdown. I think fans were a little restless. Then all of a sudden, Marcus goes 88 yards for the touchdown. Complete turnaround. You guys put the Panthers in your rear view. What does that mean to you to have the special teams be the catalyst for a win like that?
I really think, man, that speaks to the culture of the team. I think it speaks to the locker room. The guys have bought in, and Coach Rabel's done an amazing job of keeping that buy-in, not just on offense and defense, but on special teams. So we all know on special teams in this organization that it's one play at a time. We get one play to do it. And the guys truly, truly believe that. I think you saw it in the Miami game where we gave up a huge critical play and a punt return for a touchdown. And the next play, the guys came together and they were like, you know what? We got this one play to do it right. And they go for kickoff return for a touchdown, right? So it's those guys that are just doing all the work and just believing themselves and going out there and executing. So at the end of the day, you know, for me, it's gratifying to see those guys put in the work and really believe in themselves. And again, we're only four games in the state season. There's a lot more football to play. I think there's a lot more football we can be better at, without a doubt. I just hope our guys continue to believe in themselves and they're ready to go out there and execute. And just know it's one play at a time for us. One play perfection. It's our chance to help the offense and defense out, create positive momentum, flip the field. And that's what our job is. And everyone has a role on this team. And again, go out there, execute your job, and it's going to do good things for offense and defense. And I couldn't be more proud that whenever guys do that, for it to come to fruition.
Jeremy, getting back to Marcus's first punt return, because he had two huge ones, probably should have had two touchdowns. Yeah. We talked to him on Monday, and we kind of gave him a hard time about letting the punter take him down there.
Yeah.
Did you say good?
I'm glad you guys did. I'm glad. He deserves that. He needs us to have two touchdowns in that game.
Yeah, that could have really been something special. But that was my question. What makes him so special? Because, you know, we're used to the sort of jitterbug punt returners, guys that are quick and can make people miss. But he seems to break more tackles than the average punt returner, certainly punt returner of his size. So is that part of what makes him so great? Why is he so good?
He has a ridiculous, you know, natural instinct sense of like setting his blocks up very, very well. Like he knows exactly what steps to take, how many steps to take before he can go, you know, bounce it to the right, bounce to the left, or just get vertical. And he sets himself up so well for his blocks. And then when the guy's got to make tackles, he's a short, stocky body type that, man, he's just so it's so hard to bring him down with arm tackles. It just really is. He's like a small version of like a Darren Sproles-ish where it's just hard to tackle him. He's got good feet. And his vision, like I said, I just think his ability to set his blocks up is what's so good. And then the decision-making, right? Like, he knows when to return. He knows when to return. And it's just – he just got a good feel for it. Like, in that punt return for a touchdown, I mean, we're basically in safe defense, and he's been able to make two guys miss and just kind of slingshot his way around to the wall. And it's just a spectacular skill set that he has. It's just – it's unmatched, man. And like I said, as a coach – it's nothing I do. It's really – he's just so good at what he does that it just makes our job so much easier.
So we're now four games into the season, about a quarter of the way through the season, and this is the second season it's been implemented. How do you feel about the new dynamic kickoff in the NFL? Are you a fan of it at this point? It definitely has changed the game in a lot of ways, yeah. And obviously it takes constant adjusting because one team like Carolina kicks those knucklers and – other people kick it to the front and the back. It's like it's really deceptively tricky.
Yeah, it is, man. And I think you kind of nailed it. It's an adjustment week to week. And I thought last year, you know, you would learn a lot. But remember, you know what? 30% of kicks were covered. So you really didn't get a whole lot like you thought you would have. Like you could be very basic. Like we were on kickoff and be just fine. But now you're going into game five. We're already covered more than we did last year already. So you're just seeing, like, how do you adjust in-game and moving guys around and having to get guys free, or the directional kicks, the dirty ball. It's a lot to kind of digest, and I think we're still in that phase of every week's a new week. What's the league doing? What are we doing? How can we get better week to week? How we teach our guys to be better at angles and defeating blocks. It's a constant adjustment. So I like it in the sense that it's making us be critical thinkers a lot more, especially in coaches. I'm having to like critically think about what decisions I'm making, how I'm coaching these guys, and how, what our game plans look like week to week. But it's a constant adjustment, man. So it's made the game more exciting, I think, for us. And I think it's put more plays in our hand as special team coordinators and on our special team unit. So it brings the importance of that play for us even more. So you know what? For us, it's a positive, right, all around at the end of the day.
Patriots special teams coordinator Jeremy Springer here on a Patriots Friday on WEEI Afternoons. You didn't get a lot of chances, but we talked a lot leading into the game about that knuckleball that Carolina had, and their numbers were ridiculous. Wondering, A, how you thought your team did with that in its limited opportunities, and B, how do you practice something like that? If it's very specific style that the other kicker has, I'm guessing you don't necessarily have somebody, or can you get the jugs gun to do a knuckleball kickoff? Like, how do you prepare for something like that?
Well, so I thought, you know, we had the penalty on the first one. We returned out the second half. We got to the 40-yard line, so I was very pleased at how we blocked it up. We just got to be penalty free, and that's one of the big things we've been trying to focus on. The second one, we got past the 30. I felt really good about our plan, and after watching the game, I felt really good about our plan. Now, to practice it, the jugs machine, we've got it filtered in a way where it can shoot those kind of dirty balls. And then our kicker kicks dirty balls too, you know. And so we had him do it throughout the week, and it helped us out. Now, the specific type that he hits, that's the issue you run into week to week, because every kicker right now, it's like their own club. So it's a different spin on it. It's a different looking ball. So you're not necessarily going to get the same exact kick, but you're going to get a type of ball where the running backs or your returners have to adjust to it and have to communicate and work that part of it, which you get a lot out of that. It's just that when it comes to Sunday, man, it's like that's the style that that kid has, and if we don't have it, it's going to be hard to replicate that, but we can get some of the communication part out of it.
Jeremy, you talk about Marcus Jones being like the greatest guy, such a terrific person as well, and you know we all know what a great guy Brandon Schooler is, and I'm just curious, you know, to forge like the bond and the brotherhood that a special teams unit, any sports team has to be. How much do you value character in addition to, you know, actual athletic ability when you're putting together your special teams unit?
Well, I mean, if you know anything about special teams, you got to have great character to be a core guy on it, right? Because at the end of the day, right, like if I'm a linebacker, I want to start at linebacker. If I'm a safety, I want to start at safety. So to put all your chips in and be a core guy and believe in it, you have to have a high character because you know that you might not get talked about as much on TV or the radio or get paid like some of those other guys do, but your job is essential to us winning the game. So I think you got to have high character to be a core guy, and I feel like we got a bunch of those guys. You know, you mentioned those two guys, the guys like Jack Gibbons. You know, we got Elijah Ponder, Del Pettis, Charles Woods. You know, all these guys, whatever role they have right now, Anthony Jennings, they're coming in and they're owning that role. Marte Mapu. I mean, I can't say enough about those guys. Hey, believe in that. You know, you've already seen it, like, come to fruition. Like, we can be the team that we make a critical mistake and it can lose a game, but we can also be the team that sparks the plug and can help our offense defense, get them rolling. And when those guys believe in it, it makes it special. But those guys are all high-character guys, and I couldn't be more proud to be a part of it. I know we're early in the season right now, and every game's a new game. I mean, to me, it's like, all right, last week was last week, bro, but in this game, man, it can humble you quick. You can be on top of the pedestal, and then 1 week you can be on the bottom. So don't ride the roller coaster. Stay steady. Continue to prepare and do the best we can to help our offense defense. That's what we're trying to do on special teams.
Jeremy, heading into a big game in Buffalo on Sunday night, that's a little older school stadium, so I got a little two-part question. A, primetime game, great crowd and energy. Is that a factor in the kicking game? And is there anything unique to Highmark Stadium as an older stadium style that challenges you or you have to deal with this week?
I would say this, you know, because it is a, you know, primetime game, you don't have to do any more than the guys are going to be juiced and ready to go. So making sure that we have a good game plan that they can, that they know very well and they understand it, so that if it does get noisy or things are get a little rowdy, that, you know, we don't have to get rattled by that. Having a good game plan is going to be essential there. In terms of the stadium, now you're in Orchard Park. So it might say 70 and nice on Sunday night, but it could be very windy. So that stadium presents a lot of challenges from a weather standpoint, from the wind, especially since it probably won't be raining or won't be cold or raining, snowing. The wind is always going to be a factor in that stadium. So pregame is going to be essential for us figuring out what our game plan is, how they're probably going to attack us with the wind, and making sure we feel good about that heading to the game.
Could be the last time you play there. I'm not going to say most definitely is the last time that you're going to play there, because you never know what could happen come postseason as well. They got that fancy new facility you'll get a firsthand look at right across the street as well. And also, you know, I've watched a couple of Bills games. You never know. You may have to watch for some unique flying objects coming out of the stands from the fans as well.
It's a rowdy. No doubt, man. I love that kind of stuff. It's fun to see that stuff, though. It's fun to be part of.
Yeah, it's a rowdy crowd for sure. What challenges does Buffalo present to you, special teams wise? Obviously, good kicker. They seem to have speed, discipline, and fundamental tackling all the way around.
That you said, you nailed it right there. Like, they're a sound football team. I think Chris Tabor, who's the special teams coordinator there, does a phenomenal job. I mean, the only reason you coach for so long in this league is you're consistent. You're really good, and he does a phenomenal job. They're putting his guys in the places they really need to be and where they're going to activate their best strengths as a player. So this is going to be a big challenge, man. This team is good. Obviously, they're 4-0 for a reason. They got a dynamic offensive defense, and on special teams, they're very solid. So it's going to be a challenge for us. We got to go do our job, and we got to win one-on-one matchups. We got to, again, take care of the football and do everything we can to win the field position battle and create positive momentum for the team. And I think our guys will be juiced up, ready to go, who wouldn't be on a Sunday night football game there. And we got to go there and execute.
Before we let you go, I need to reference something from the first Marcus Jones punt return that resonated maybe more with me than others did, but I'm guessing you went over it in film. Tonga was leading the way, and he looked like at about the 40-yard line, he put his fist in the air and started celebrating. He knew that Marcus had made the punter miss and was gone. Did you highlight that? What'd you think of that celebration by your big defensive lineman?
I love it, man. Those guys, they were working their tail off, man. And for those guys to go see a punt return for a touchdown on that unit right there, it's always good to see, man, to have those guys get a feel for, hey, I helped out and I had a part in that punt return. And that's what we always tell our guys. Like, you don't know the 25 back there. When 25 is back there, whether I'm on the defensive safe team, I'm on punt return, just do your job, and we just don't know when it's going to happen, because that guy can take it at any moment. So just don't let up. Finish longer than the guy with the ball, and the rest will take care of itself.
All right, Coach, good luck on Sunday night in Buffalo, and we'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
Sounds good, brother. You guys have a good rest of your day, okay?
You too. See you.
Thank you, Jeremy.
That was Patriots special teams coach Jeremy Springer.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
High noon, Jones and Keefe. It's a Tom E. Tuesday with Tommy Curran. We'll get to Curran, NBC Sports Boston, in just a moment. We got Keefe for Madness for you at 12:45. Keith McPherson from WFAN. We're going to talk Red Sox Yankees in the 1 o'clock hour. Get the New York perspective on that. Plus, if you missed our tiers, on a Tier Tuesday, they are up now at Jones and Keefe. All the MLB playoff teams tiered off. Plus the New York Mets. We decided to take
a shot
at
them. Toss them in there. They were so close.
Forgot to take our shot at Rafael Devers.
Yeah, that's on us.
So we got to get back to that. But as promised, it is Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston. He is brought to you by your New England Chevy dealers. Together,
Let's drive. Tommy Curran, how are we doing this week?
I am on top of the world. How are you?
Oh, we're doing great. We checked out your latest at NBC Sports Boston. I know you think the Patriots delivered a proof of concept victory over the Carolina Panthers this weekend. Why do you feel that way?
Because they played on defense, save for the first drive, the way that you expect and hope them to. They played offensively, intelligently. They didn't have an excessive number of penalties. They made plays on special teams. But the most important proof of concept was, if you want to extract yourself from being in the bottom quarter of the league, anywhere between 25 and 32, you have to start showing separation between yourself and those teams. And this was the first time they showed, if we play well and up to our capability, we can win by 29, should have been 36 points, because we're not those teams anymore. So that, to me, I think was the most interesting. And when you look at the four games, they have riddled their feet with bullet holes in the two losses. And one was by 7 points and one was by 6 points. They're a little bit better than we expected. And I know that the pitching is batting practice level, but that's the way the league is right now too.
What did you think of the sort of message sent where Ramondre Stevenson plays, he starts, and he gets the very first carry of the game?
I think Mike is really trying to thread the needle of, I'm going to show these guys I believe in them, and the more I do that and show faith in them, the more they will adhere to or understand that I'm part of this team, and I'm going to give everything I can to this team and buy in to the culture and the leadership that Mike is dispensing. So I think that was good. It was certainly a risk, because had he fumbled, then it's, as I said last week, that would have been on the coaching staff just as much as the player, because they knew that he was a little dented mentally. But I thought it was interesting. And Mike, again, is trying to thread the needle between the urgency that is presumed because they should be better with a better coaching staff, a second-year Drake May, and still realizing that this roster still is not top-tier at a lot of spots.
You mentioned the slow starts and how strong they were defensively outside of that. Do you see like an overlapping theme there or a correlation in some of these games? Why the slow starts and how do they get that fixed?
Just to hear Mike explain it, he sounded yesterday when he was talking about it as if guys are trying to do a little too much. You spend all week doing one thing and then the game starts and you're overexcited and you overcommit. So tempering that level of enthusiasm and just trying to start calm might be part of it. And I also think that teams have a good script, and how quickly can you adjust? You know, last week Pittsburgh absolutely riddled them on the first two drives, and then they adjusted and calmed down. Mike, I think, literally used the words calm down. So I think those two things are working in concert.
What did you think of Mike Vrabel yesterday being asked about Josh McDaniels, and his first response was, you know, it's everybody on offense, you know, not just Josh.
I don't know whether that's what we in the media would presume it to be, or if it's just a normal, hey, let's divvy up the credit here. A lot of guys are doing good things, and we in the media, on the other hand, presume it to be, well, it was on a platter for him, and he couldn't say a nice thing. And I don't know. I mean, it's worth asking. If it is on a platter and you pass on the opportunity to say that, my God, he's been unbelievable. If you look at the production of Drake May to be a top five passer in so many different categories, I mean, it's not our receivers. So, yeah, Josh has been incredible. I mean, you wouldn't say the receivers part, but I think that Josh McDaniels is right there along with the offensive line improvement, the biggest difference, because that's what you're extracting Drake May's performance from. Better protection, better play calls, understanding the strengths of a average at best group of skill position players collectively, and then say, well, what can we do to make the kid better? And they found that through four games.
Let's stick with Drake May for a moment with this week's Drake Take from Tommy Curran, presented by your New England Chevy dealers. Together, let's drive. Drake is getting a lot of national love, a case that he is arguably the best quarterback in the 2024 draft class. We played a clip from Colin Cowherd today saying the Patriots have the guy, renew season tickets. Rich Eisen is comparing him to Brady and Manning and Kurt Warner and Aaron Rodgers and the starts and stretches they got off to in MVP seasons. Do you think Drake is deserving of the national hype that he's getting? We've been giving him quite a bit locally. Those are some examples of the national hype. Do you think he's worthy of it?
I always think the national hype is behind and not as deep drilling as the local? Like, are they noticing that again this past week against Carolina, his first throw of the game was into traffic and could have been a pick and could have been a repeat of the same issues that we've seen at the beginning of games? They're not scrutinizing that. They don't read the whole book. They just read a page here and there. So
they're like high school me.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
First paragraph, last paragraph.
Yes.
Figure out the rest. Spark notes. Yeah.
I'm having a long, ongoing debate, discussion, argument with Phil, in which I'm saying that Drake May might already be a top seven passer in the league, but I don't know if he's a top 12 quarterback. The difference is quarterbacking includes decision-making, accuracy, calm, and he's showing great improvement, but in two of the four games, you can trace Drake's mistakes nice. To the reasons that they lost. But you can also trace, definitely in Miami, his efficiency. So is he becoming a quarterback? Yes, he is a terrific passer in terms of running this offense right now and taking what's in front of him. I mean, we understand he wants to be a gunslinger. I think his average depth of target is among the lowest in the league because those are easy throws, and his completion percentage is the highest in the league. Those are great strides for him to make.
Now that Christian Gonzalez is back on the field, is your understanding just, hey, this was a tricky hamstring injury that took 7 or 8 weeks to get back on the field? It's just one that, you know, he wanted to be 100% before he went on there? Or, you know, what do you think really happened there with Gonzalez and his eventual return?
It got a little muddy at the end because Gonzalez insisted he wanted to play the week prior, didn't play, and then when he was out there, he played every snap the other day. So I think it's interesting. The Patriots were anxious to get him back. They tried so hard to say we're not frustrated with him, but the subtext to so much of it seemed as if they were frustrated with the pace. I don't have a conclusive take on the enigmatic injury suffered by Christian Gonzalez, but I don't think it's over in terms of how will the Patriots view him going forward. Will he be one of the most rugged, tough, answer the bell, he's banged up as hell, but he keeps playing through it, guys? Or will this continue? And that remains to be seen, because I don't think that there's a lot of blood and guts players in the NFL anymore who are willing to say, I'll do whatever I can for the team and put my health in the balance, at least not in the way they used to. And there's a reason for that, and it's because the money is so astronomical. They grow up in an NIL atmosphere. They're able to understand that they are personal corporations who can set up generations of their family. So I don't begrudge them the decision to say, I'm going to do what's best for me here. I know I want to play. I'd love to play, but I have to do what's best and reasonable for me no matter how much you need me. So I think that it bears watching, and it bears watching with every player, and it bears watching across the league, how the mentality of, look, I'm going to do what's best for me here. I understand what you want, but I do have to put myself first.
What did you see out of Stephon Diggs on Sunday? And I guess put another way, did you see anything different out of Diggs usage-wise? He was in the slot more. He played more snaps. There were more explosive plays. Do you think that was a product of who they were facing in Carolina? Do you think that's a product of him getting healthier, the way they're utilizing him? How did you see that play out on Sunday?
I think there was a little bit of zone being played, and he's so friggin' smart, and he runs with such good pace in terms of understanding, okay, I go 60 here, and now I'm going to go up to 80, and then I'm going to slow down. So I just think he's got incredible mastery of the nuances that Drake May really needs. I was on the 33-yard reception across the middle as he was running. I said, wow, he's not very fast. And like Tatum, it's still eye-opening to think that this guy is playing as many snaps as he is so soon after his ACL. I know Achilles is different, but this guy's playing football, which, you know, you can get your leg wrecked in a hurry, as we saw last night. So it's pretty amazing to me. But I also thought what was interesting was the ability to back shoulder that he showed on two different occasions, especially down the right sideline when he had that back shoulder throw that got them inside the 10-yard line. Just, it's good that May, can you imagine May hooking up like that with Devontae Parker? I mean, that's what was passing as their number one.
Yeah.
That was their number one receiver.
Jalen Polk or something like that. Yeah, exactly.
Juju.
Good point.
Yeah, that, don't think so.
What have you thought so far, four games into Will Campbell's career?
Excellent. It's really, really good. Watch the first play of the game last week, if you can. And he just absolutely rototills the guy that he's blocking and then lands on him.
Is that 11? He threw 11 to the ground. I don't even know who that was, but I know the play you're talking about, Tom. Yeah.
Belly flopped on him. He's been great. I mean, the offensive line to me is the number one story of this team's success. That's why they're good. That's why Drake May has the opportunity to be who he's becoming. And nothing else would work if they were not at least, and this, I'm looking at it and they're still probably like the, you know, I don't know where they would fit in the NFL in terms of offensive line units, but they're probably not top 5 or 10, but it just looks somewhat competent or higher than competent that you're like, my God, he's got all day. We're just not accustomed to seeing that.
What sort of chance are you giving them in Buffalo on Sunday night?
I still think they have some idiocy left in them. I do. I don't think that one game of tremendous intelligence and efficiency and great responsibility against a team that didn't test them at home is enough data to show that they're ready to do that in Buffalo against a team that won't blink, that is the best team in the NFL and the odds-on favorite to go to and win the Super Bowl. They have to play almost perfect to stay within a touchdown all game. They have to play almost perfect and not make mistakes. If they can play mistake-free and lose 27-17, you know, there's not back-breaking penalties, there's not mind-numbing turnovers, the third-down conversions that Josh Allen makes, you look at it and go, well, what are you going to do? He's the best player in the league. He's got a guy hanging off him, and he throws it 45 yards downfield, and there was a guy there, and they caught it. I mean, those are the things that you'd say, okay, well, Buffalo's better. But if they fumble, get picked off, make panic decisions, throw inaccurately, cannot clear people out of spaces, have delay of game penalties, are inefficient on special teams, then you say, well, not ready yet. Not panicking because you have New Orleans and Cleveland and Tennessee and you guys brought in the Jets and the Giants, just a litany of teams that you can still get to 7-3 or 8-3 without really losing your mind. Is that unbelievable? Like Cincinnati.
Well, no, that's what I was going to say, Tom. I was, you know, going into the season, one of the reasons why a lot of us predicted them to have a bunch of wins was really based on their opponents. And it's actually even gotten easier. Like, no Joe Burrow. Lamar Jackson's banged up. We'll see what happens. That's late in the season. But Tyreek Hill, you won't see him in the second go around. Malik Nabers, you won't see him in that Giants game. So, yeah, you have the two Buffalo games. I think Baker Mayfield and Tampa are good. We'll see what Baltimore looks like. That's it. Like, and Baltimore's defense is terrible. So it's like,
that's the whole
the
list.
Schedule. Yeah. Like, those are the remaining tough games. So even if you lose, yeah, it would knock the wind out of everybody's sails if the Bills blow them out. But then you can easily bounce back with four straight games where you're going to be favored in.
Yeah, it was interesting the other day, too. I think it was Dave Canales was talking about the Patriots and saying that, well, Mike kind of just does what he does, and they do it well, and they do it efficiently. And there was conversation as to whether or not that was insulting. I think it was on the Sunday morning show, actually, we were discussing it, or they were before I came on. Mm-hmm. And there's no shame in that. And that's actually how the Patriots should be. Look, if you're good with your three-wood off the tee, don't pull out your driver to try and make a point. Mm-hmm. Just keep hitting the three-wood. What difference does it make? So if they're good at playing a particular way and they don't shoot themselves in the foot when they play a particular way, do that. Because that should be enough to help you beat these teams like that are taking on water, like Tennessee or Cleveland or whoever else. Mm-hmm.
Tom, I'm curious for your perspective on this. You've covered sports in this town for a long time. You know, 20 years ago, Patriots regular season games versus Red Sox and Yankees in October would be an afterthought. I'm curious what you think of the state of the Red Sox-Yankees rivalry playoff game tonight within the city compared to how the Patriots are viewed, how Red Sox-Yankees used to be viewed, your perspective on how that's changed over the last, call it, 20 years.
I think consuming the Red Sox has changed so drastically. You know, it was really the early 90s, late 90s that fed into the fever of the early 2000s. Look, if they won a World Series, people were going to lose their minds anyway because it had been so long. But the Ortiz, Manny, Garcia Parra, Rodriguez, the dalliance with Rodriguez, the fact George Steinbrenner, he was still alive, right?
Oh, yeah.
Steinbrenner, it just harkened back. The link was still there. Consuming the Red Sox now is so different. It's to me, and I think as we get older, we have less time to spend 3 hours a night, 5 nights a week. It's like watching, you know, a three-hour movie, 5 or 7, 6 nights a week. You're not going to do it. But so it's harder to consume, and the players are more transitory. It's harder to develop that night-to-night effect. Now, the guys that I play golf with, the guys that I hang around with, there's a lot of them who spend a ton of time watching the Red Sox. It's different now than it was 2 or 3 years ago. But I think the Red Sox have become such an afterthought, too, and I think the Patriots were such a dramatic, easy-to-follow, transcendent team with so many storylines that they just rototilled the Red Sox, who were uninteresting for many years.
All right.
In many years.
Yeah, it's been a while. Tommy Curran, you can check out his work at NBC Sports Boston. Again, the latest is up there. It is a statement game for the Patriots, and on top of that, they make a point against Carolina with a proof of concept. You can also check him out at Tom E. Curran on Twitter. Tom, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Thank you, guys. Have a good day.
Thanks, Tom. Right.
Tommy Curran joining us here on Jones and Keefe. He joins WEEI Afternoons on Thursdays, so check him out there as well, plus all over NBC Sports Boston. He mentioned those Canales comments. We never really talked about that on our show. We were texting about it.
I understand how it could come across as an insult, but I don't think it was meant, and I wouldn't take it as such.
I would, whether he meant it as one or not, I can't speak to. I would take that as an insult.
But I think it's
we don't do anything, but what we do, we're really good at, which, by the way, I don't even think they had been good at through the first 3 weeks. I don't even know how accurate that
statement was. No, he was actually
kind
of propping them up more so, because at that time they were 1-2, and you'd be like, well, they turn it over, they have a lot of penalties, so actually what you're saying I don't even agree with, but I just mean they're not a team that has four different players in motion before the snap, and they're not doing these like crazy things defensively. So I know what he meant, but it makes it sound like, oh, like you can't do that kind of stuff. So you choose not to.
You're basic.
That. Yeah.
You're simple.
Yeah.
They don't do what we do over here. Like, I would take that as a shot.
But I think that's like a young coach that probably hasn't done a million press conferences, and he's actually just trying to talk about how he views the other team. And so if you choose to take it as an insult, go ahead, but I don't think that's what he meant.
No. I wish I knew comments like that before I bet him plus 1,600 for coach of the year.
Yeah, he might be the first coach fired the way things are going.
Well, I think Brian Callahan might have the market cornered on that. Mike McDaniel, big win last night. That's a bounce back for him. He's off the hot seat.
He's got no Tyreek Hill the rest of the year.
Your guy Daboll won.
Daboll did win, and he's got the Saints this week. So he might about to go on a little bit of a heater with Jackson Dart.
Nice little streak.
Yeah, he might be safe another year.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland. You know, think of the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Not only is it a Flex Friday at the Newport Brewing Company in Newport, Rhode Island, but it's also a Patriots Friday. And Robert Splaine of the New England Patriots on this show, brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market. Look for the new lower prices everyday tags throughout the store and save on the items that you buy the most. Also brought to you by Windward Mental Health. Start your healing journey now at windwardmentalhealth.com. And by Zondark Credit Union, tackling financial wellness since 1912. Stronger members, stronger communities. Learn more at jdcu.org. And also brought to you by findmassmoney.gov. Robert, good morning.
Good morning. How's it going?
We're doing great. We're in Rhode Island. Have you had the opportunity to visit? Round of applause, please, for Robert Splaine. Have you had the opportunity to visit this state, Robert?
We have not yet. I can't wait to bring my two little younger daughters down there in the off season, though, and spend some time down there when we get a chance.
It is. It's beautiful down here, and nice win last week. I'm sure you know we sit and fans look at these things and say, "Well, it's the Panthers." I'm sure you can tell us that any week you get a win, it's great to get that win.
It's never too easy to come by wins in this league, so any chance we get to take a victory home is a huge week for us.
Robert, you guys obviously got a tough one, Buffalo Sunday night. When you look at Josh Allen, his ability to make off-scripted plays outside the pocket is, I think, where he really shines. So how important is it that you almost keep him in the pocket and turn him into a pocket passer rather than him get out and have to be able to make some of those off-script plays?
Yeah, well, first and foremost, they are the number one rushing team in the NFL. For us to be able to get a chance at Josh Allen, we're going to have to put them at third and long to give us a chance to get home to him. If not, he is very dangerous with his legs and extending plays and keeping his eyes downfield.
Robert, so far throughout the first 4 weeks, you guys have had 39 flags thrown against you, a penalty issue throughout those 4 weeks. Moving forward, how can you guys fix that to make sure it's not a problem, especially against an important game against the Bills?
Yeah, during these practices during the week, we have to really focus on our techniques and our fundamentals. Good techniques and fundamentals lead to clean play, limiting those penalties and helping us get off the field, essentially.
Robert, what has your experience been with the Bills Mafia in your NFL career?
Yeah, as a player, I try to stay out of affairs with opposing teams' fans. So I know they love their team and they cheer hard for their team, but that for me, that's an every week situation. So I stay away from dealing with them personally.
Just be careful. They like to throw strange things on the field sometimes, Robert, up there.
Yeah, but they have hundreds of cameras in that arena, and when they do, they kick those guys out and don't invite them back. So,
from your perspective, what are the toughest stadiums to play in the NFL?
You got to start with Buffalo. I mean, they've been so good. I think they've won their last 14 games at home. So they've just been very dominant in their home environment. It'll be a great challenge for us on primetime football.
Robert, you talked about Buffalo's ability to run the football. I mean, you guys look at what you do defensively. You guys are one of the better teams in the National Football League when it comes to stopping the run. So what do you think you're going to have to do specifically when it comes to stopping the Buffalo Bills rushing attack? Where do you have to stay on point?
Yeah, you got to build a edge wall swarm is how we talk to defend the run game. So put a heavy edge on it, build the wall at the line of scrimmage, and then swarm to the ball carrier. This guy, James Cook, is an elite running back who has contact balance, speed, and vision. So making sure all 11 are at the point of attack on any run play.
Robert, you specifically against Pittsburgh had 15 total tackles, then 10 last week against the Panthers. What's been working for you? How have you been able to see the field better?
Yeah, I've continued to trust in my positioning on the field and my teammates and just been able to make a few more plays these past few weeks. And sometimes that's a product of the game plan. Sometimes it's a product of production. And I'm excited to continue to build off the last 2 weeks.
You got Christian Gonzalez back last week. What does that do for this defense?
It does everything. Having an elite shutdown corner provides you a luxury to call different defensive calls, to play a different style of football. And I just loved watching him come out there. One of his first plays makes a clean tackle in the box like he hadn't missed a play. So it's great to have him back.
the last 2 weeks, you ranked fifth, according to PFF, as a linebacker grade. You got tackles, you got interceptions. What has clicked for you in this defense recently?
Yeah, I think it comes down to trust, knowing where you fit in within the bigger scheme of the pitcher. It has been a quite a big change for me in terms of how I look at the field and just getting that comfortability with where I fit in the defense and how I need to be there to be a good teammate.
You a guy who likes playing that late game on Sunday night, or does that screw with
there
you?
There is no doubt.
No doubt.
There is no doubt. We live for these primetime football games. When the whole country's watching, when all your peers around the league are watching, they just finished their games for the day, and they're racing home to watch you play Sunday night football. I know it means more, and these games are huge, and we want to go out there and perform.
Robert, I'm reading a column today by Doug Kide in the Boston Herald, and I think my colleague Courtney and her husband will be very happy to know that your favorite movie is Harry Potter.
Yes.
I do enjoy the Harry Potter series.
Do you have all a favorite?
All of them. They're all good. I just watched the Half-Blood Prince on our last away trip, so I'm excited to kind of finish out the series with the Deathly Hallows here shortly.
I'm a Goblet of Fire girl myself, but are you excited for the HBO series that's going to be hitting the TV screen soon?
Yeah, I haven't seen too much on it, but I'm sure that'll be fun.
Do you dress up like a wizard?
Pardon?
Do you dress up like a wizard? Because I feel like all Harry Potter fans dress up like wizards and warlocks and all those things. So
the only thing I ever dressed up as is a football player for my whole Halloween career as a kid. So I've always been a football player, never dressed up as a wizard before.
Well, we're happy about that. So is everybody here in Newport, Rhode Island. So, Robert, go get them. Go get them on Sunday night, and let's do it. All right, thanks for taking the time this morning.
Really appreciate you guys. Have a great rest of your day.
All right, Robert Spillane, 8:20 start on Sunday night.
Yeah,
and so
prime time.
Listen, you can't have it both ways. You can't complain about the fact that they never get primetime games and then be mad because it's late.
Like I will never complain about primetime games.
Yeah,
being there, I love 1 o'clock.
Yeah,
1 o'clock forever.
Yeah, when I was a player, I didn't mind the primetime games, but as a fan, give me the 1 o'clock.
Don't you guys do the same thing where it's in the second half and it's like 11:03? You're like, okay, so now it's going to be 4 hours and 40 minutes. Okay, now it's going to be 3 hours and 45 minutes.
Yeah.
But I hope they win. I'm concerned about Milton Williams. I know he wasn't going to answer anything about it, so it's not worth asking. Yeah. But
so he did not practice.
He's going to probably – he was limited, and then he was out.
Yeah. So, ankle, so.
With an ankle, I would say. Right. I doubt he makes the trip.
Yeah, if he doesn't – what's – today's Friday. If he doesn't practice today, they'll try to push him today because that's what they do on Fridays is try to see what a guy can do. And if you can't really do much on a Friday, then you generally don't play.
Shime, how much time you spent with the film this week?
A little bit, nothing too crazy. I mean, with Josh Allen, it's just kind
Pace
of
yourself.
He's amazing. So it's not a whole lot you can really prepare for.
You haven't dived into the all 22s.
I don't need to with Josh Allen. He's a super. He's a superhero. He can make any play on the planet.
Well, it's going to be interesting because Robert talked about Buffalo's ability to run the ball, but the Patriots have done a really good job this year when it comes to defending the run. So it'll be interesting to see, like, you know, what happens at that point. I think that you make and it's crazy to say this, but I think you make Josh Allen a pocket passer when you can get him in those positions, because I'd rather him be in the pocket throwing versus those plays where he gets out of the pocket and then he just is like unstoppable.
And it's going to be a big lane discipline, Wiggy. I know you're familiar with this for the defensive line, just because he loves, when he does scramble, he loves to scramble kind of over the center and over the guards instead of kind of outside the tackles like what Drake May likes to do. Mm-hmm. So you have to really kind of be disciplined in containing that pocket.
I've never seen anybody throw as they approach the sideline as accurately as he does. Like, you think the play's dead. You think he's going to be out, you know, 1 yard loss. And then the next thing you know, he just chucks it 40 yards.
Yeah,
for a touchdown.
Mahomes also.
But Josh Allen is just so much bigger and stronger. Yeah. Like Mahomes,
and now Mac Jones. Really?
Well, Mac the Island is. All,
I actually,
he wasn't moving
I feel like
much.
Mac might be. I feel like Mac might be better than Brady.
hey, listen. Matt, I'm telling you, the 49ers, I have to say it, man. I'm not a huge – listen, I'm not a Mac Jones fan, but that the Bay Area is calling for Mac.
Let's go back to that draft. How would you redraft that? Definitely had a Justin Fields.
Mac Jones?
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely had a Trey Lance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe Trevor Lawrence?
He beat Trevor Lawrence head-to-head, didn't he? Or was that Purdy who played that game?
Purdy played that game in the Jaguars.
And he stunk, and Purdy stunk that game. Yeah, that's right.
So, Curtis, I know how you feel about this, but if you look at Mac now, the way he is, the way he's performing now, is it all Bill Belichick that Bill Belichick ruined him for a period of time?
I think what the difference is that he didn't ruin him. He didn't support him is a better way to describe it. That they had, if you look at Tua, and we said this at the time, both Alabama quarterbacks, look at what the Dolphins did to surround Tua with Waddle and Tyreek Hill and all those guys, as opposed to what the Patriots did for Mac Jones, which was Hunter Henry and Pray for Rain. And you look at what Mac Jones is able to do now in San Francisco with quality offensive coaching and good players around him. He is an NFL quarterback, and you tried your best to ruin
him. And it is the coaching, because it ain't even rain over there. They have nobody when it comes to the guys he's throwing to. I mean, all his guys are out other than McCaffrey, and it, you know, you got to give him credit. What do you have, two tugs last night, no interceptions? He's played better than Purdy. That's why there is a real – there's a quarterback controversy in San Francisco.
There isn't a quarterback controversy.
Yes, there is, Sean.
Wiggy.
Absolutely.
Wiggy, Sean, if you get rid of Brock Purdy, it's a $90 million dead cap hit. 90.
Sean, when Purdy was playing, he had four interceptions to four touchdowns.
I am aware. In the second game, he was hurt.
That's two games.
Yes, in two games. Mac Jones has played in three games, and he's thrown six touchdowns and one interception.
Yeah. I'm very aware, Wiggy. I understand. He was also – Brock Purdy was very hurt in that game last week against the Jaguars.
Yeah, but he wasn't hurt in the first game when he threw two interceptions.
And they
the
won.
The offense was much healthier around Purdy when he played as compared to Mac Jones last night.
Sure. Hey. I don't disagree. Mac Jones is playing great. I don't disagree. And I think you're right in saying that in hindsight, the contract was bad. I think we said it – a lot of us said it at the time that the contract was bad. I agree in that regard, but I think – having given him the contract, there's no way out of it at this point, and it's just, like, there's no controversy. It's Brock Purdy's job.
I just think that when you look at Mac Jones moving forward, he's better hope that he can stay in San Francisco because, to me, it's a personality thing. And I don't think it just falls on Bill Belichick. I think it falls on whatever head coach he has, making sure that they are the right type of coach for Mac Jones. Do you want that quarterback around the league that's not necessarily going to be one of the top quarterbacks in the league? Like, Mac Jones might get bounced around a bit throughout his career. I don't think he's going to be as good as we've been seeing him in San Francisco with every coach he gets. And that doesn't, in my mind, fall on Bill Belichick. That falls on Mac Jones because he's not mentally tough enough to handle every head coach.
Well, yeah, maybe he learned his lesson, though.
I don't think so.
I think he was humbled a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably a good thing.
Look at Baker Mayfield.
I don't know, Greg. I saw the suit he walked into the game with that last night. That doesn't look like a humbled guy.
That was the worst suit I've ever seen in my entire life, Shime.
It looked like Harley Quinn.
That was not swag, Wiggy. That was terrible.
All right. We are in Newport, Rhode Island on a Flex Friday at Newport Craft Brewing. And I want to thank these guys because when you come here this morning, have a beer, have a Wally's Wiener. They are donating the proceeds to the Greg Hill Foundation and our beneficiaries. We actually should probably – there's like 30 different ways you can have your wiener here.
Yeah,
save that.
Pause.
At Wally's. Maybe we should – should we have wieners for breakfast?
I mean, it's never too early for a wiener.
Pause.
They grill the wieners because they probably grill the wieners here. So there's two wieners that I want.
There are?
Yeah, on that list that I looked at.
Let me guess. Are you going for the mac and cheese?
Is it the Cam Newton?
No, it's not the Cam Newton wiener.
I think 6-inch wieners are the best.
Yeah, how big are Wally's wieners? Are they 6 inches? I mean, you know, some places do the foot long. I prefer a 6-inch.
Who's got the foot long?
We'll have Courtney measure them.
All right.
She's very generous.
I'm not good at that.
She's very. She's very generous.
Yes, that she is.
Not good at measuring. I usually undersell.
No, you can
you oversell.
No, I under.
It's the metric system.
I don't know that I've really ever had much on. Like, they have the Mac Dog, since we're talking about Mac Jones. Good. Which is American cheese, lettuce, onions, pickles, burger sauce. Like, I don't know if I like all this stuff. Wiggy wants the truffle shuffle.
Yeah.
Which is mushrooms, caramelized onions, and truffle aioli.
Yeah.
On a dog.
That, and I like the Wally one, too.
You like the Wally, bacon, peppers, onions, and Wally sauce.
Yeah. Oh, sounds good.
Wally sauce sounds interesting.
Sounds very good.
There's a pizza dog with pepperoni, mozzarella, marinara. Which you should not disturb. So, all right. Well, anyway, we're here in Newport with you guys. Thanks for coming out on a Friday morning. We will you want to chime? Why don't we continue with the rest of They Said It, and then we'll get to the news coming up at 8.
Sure.
Jay Leno, the great Jay Leno, will be here with us at 8:15 on today's show.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Patriots Friday here on WEEI Afternoons, and that means one thing at 3:30 on a Friday. It means we're going to talk to our buddy Mike Giardi, who has the best open for a phone hit in all of radio.
It's time for Mike Giardi.
Stink, stank, and stunk.
The bulging in his disc in his back. The bulging disc in his back.
What do you gain by keeping Bill Belichick around?
I want to see as much Drake May as possible.
Angry Giardi is here.
Wiggy appears to have a bit of a man crush on Cam.
I don't know if you want to take the cheese again.
Mike Giardi, folks, is an angry man.
I'm not pissed today.
I've got you by at least 2 inches.
On Boston Sports Original, WEEI.
Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy, Stevens, Ted Johnson, and now Mike Giardi.
That is one of the better intros.
It's tremendous. And I want to let all of you guys know, at whatever point we play Giardi's intro and he says bulging disc, if I don't chuckle, smile, or laugh, call a doctor or call a coroner or something, because I'm done. I'm dead inside. There's something really serious wrong with me. Because, Mike, that gets me to laugh. I know it wasn't as funny for you in the moment because I was there with you.
It wasn't the best.
And I remember how you felt, but we came out the other side, and we can all laugh about it now. So let's get to the man of the moment. We were just talking. Ted Johnson was talking about Drake May. Fitzy was talking about Drake May, the numbers he's putting up, the percentage of the offense that's on his shoulders. What are we in the midst of right now? Is this like an early pop, and then there's going to be a regression before you can have the real development? Is this just a good quarterback getting together with a good offensive coordinator, and we're seeing something special develop before our eyes? Where are we in this budding Drake May superstardom story?
I definitely think we've taken our first steps towards the year two leap. And you have to say, just put it out there to everybody, the schedule's not awesome. Hasn't been awesome the first 4 weeks. Haven't played the iron of the league.
Josh Allen's isn't either. Wait, whoa. Josh Allen's isn't either. His schedule sucks, too.
They're both soft, though. They're both soft.
100%. And what I was going to say before you rudely interrupted me, Andy. was that,
welcome to our world.
Yes. Was that, if you look at the schedule going forward, and Aaron Schatz had a tweet about this today, former Football Outsiders guy, like, it's one of the easiest schedules in the last, I don't even remember how many years he said, but it's like mind-blowing how light it is at this juncture in terms of the opponent's DVOA. So there's a real opportunity to continue on this trend where we go from a few steps to maybe, you know, taking a whole flight of stairs if possible. But this is a big one. Even if Buffalo's defense is not what it's been, you know, the environment – The crowd's going to be lubed up. It's going to be loud. They haven't faced that at all this year. You know, your one away game was in Miami, and quite frankly, there was as many Patriots fans as there were Miami fans there. This is not going to be that.
Hey, Mike, are you surprised to see how efficient Drake May is going to Steph Diggs? I mean, I think he's fourth in the NFL in just efficiency, catching 19 of the 22 balls thrown his way. They're playing him. It feels like, if the numbers are correct, and I'm sure they are, that, you know, half the time in the slot, but he's also playing a little bit more Z and X in the boundary. That 4th-and-3 was him on the boundary. Are you surprised that he's become as efficient as he has with Drake?
Well, I mean, this is kind of what we talked about in advance of the season, right, is that Steph is such a smart receiver that he was going to have a leg up on these other guys, even if he couldn't run as well as he, and still I don't think he's running as well as he used to, which makes a lot of sense. It's not been a year since the ACL, but he has great feel. You know, we were talking about Pop Douglas, right, and, like, he's quick and he's fast, and but he doesn't have that feel. He doesn't understand when he's got to settle down or when, oh, I've got this guy set up, or, hey, I've got to look for this back shoulder here. Steph has all that in his bag. He's done it for what, this is the 10th or 11th year. Like, he knows how to play the position, so his savvy and his feel has allowed him to connect with the quarterback. And it's clear, I mean, with the exception of Hunter Henry, that Drake feels as comfortable throwing to Steph as anybody on the team.
All right, Mike, we're roughly now with a 17-game season. It's kind of weird numerically, but about a quarter of the way through the season. I know, it's ridiculous. but, okay, quarter-ish of the way through the season. What word or phrase would you use to describe the Pats' offensive line thus far?
Pretty good. Pretty good. I mean, you know, it's not been perfect. You know, had the fourth quarter sort of meltdown a little bit, especially with Will Campbell and Jared Wilson on the left side in the Vegas game. A couple moments in the Steelers game where Herbig got Campbell, and there was a couple other plays. You know, they had a hard time blocking Cam Hayward, which everybody's had a hard time blocking him for almost 15 years now. But by and large, pretty good. I know there are metrics that are all over the place. Some tell you it's the fourth best pass blocking unit in the league. Some tell you it's more middle of the road. Doesn't really matter to me. What matters is it's so much better than it's been. And I think that's allowing sort of a Drake to settle in and feel more comfortable in these games. You know, obviously last year he had to run for his life pretty much at all times. And now it's sort of like, hey, this is holding up all right. I can sit back here for another beat and make that throw.
Mike Giardi, Boston Sports Journal, here on a Patriots Monday on WEEI Afternoons. And Patriots Friday, sorry, getting ahead of myself. We're heading into a big game in which we're going to talk about Drake May and Josh Allen. And yes, Drake May probably has to try to score with Josh Allen, who has scored 30 points every game this season or more. Mm-hmm. But defensively, now that you have Christian Gonzalez back, and now that you have Milton Williams back on the practice field today, and now that you have Robert Spillane getting comfortable, he talked about that on the Greg Hill show this morning, that he wasn't real comfortable the first couple weeks in this defense. How are we feeling about this defense going into the challenge of stopping Josh Allen, James Cook, and the Bills?
Still a little bit frightened by it. Still been a little bit erratic, a little bit inconsistent. I mean, look at last week. I mean, again, it's a lopsided win, and you can say, they weren't playing all their guys at the end of the game. 7 of the 10 Carolina drives ended in Patriots territory. So they did move the ball, and then there was a little bend but don't break, and obviously we know Carolina is offensive back. But, like, it needs to be better, and I think obviously having Gonzalez back, and he was fine last week and should feel better this week, that, you know, he can finally maybe play some of that cat coverage, although, again, I'm not sure they would do that against Buffalo because Buffalo doesn't really have that guy, right? But it certainly allows them more flexibility, and I think they're getting pretty much what they expected from the interior of that defensive line. You know, Barmore's been a little bit spotty. Williams has been excellent, but Barmore came on last week, had a monster game against backups, and but it was good. Like, that's what you're supposed to do, right? You're paying a guy $20 million.
Yep.
You're facing a second stringer, and then a third stringer. Kick their ass. And he kicked their ass.
Mike, you kind of look at this game and matchups and trying to find, you know, weaknesses that you can exploit. And one of the weaknesses for the Buffalo Bills on defense in particular is run defense. They are, ironically, the best pass defense in the league. And some of that has to do with the cupcakes that they've played. But, you know, the fact that they get run on like they do. The Patriots are, you know, kind of top of the bottom third, if you will, in rushing offense. Do you think this is a big game to kind of just have a breakout game for the running attack for the Patriots?
I think if you gave them true serum, they would tell you they would love to be a 50-50 team on Sunday, mm-hmm. and they would love to be able to run the ball and have, you know, like, look, they still want explosives, but if you can tell me you get a 23
down
and you're scoring touchdowns off of that, like, that's totally what they would want, right? So shortens the game, keeps the ball out of Allen's hands, you know, keeps your defense from being on the field a ton. So I think, like, if they can't run it this week, then I have serious questions about when they're ever going to be able to run it. Because you mentioned it, it's like Buffalo's a weird team, Tim, because they're lighter in the interior, and they'll be even lighter if Ed Oliver looks like he's going to play this weekend. If he's back, he hasn't been there for the last 3 weeks. Bosa on the edge has been really good against the pass, which not surprising, right?
Yep.
But against the run, liability, people are running right at him and taking charge of him, kind of like people are doing with Chase on with the Patriots, sort of running at him and saying, go ahead, stop it. And he consistently hasn't been able to do it. So there are ways to get to this. I'll give you one other one. For whatever reason, Sean McDermott still puts a ton on his safeties. You know, they had Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde, who was probably the best safety duo, you know, of the last 10 years. Yep. You're in that conversation, yep, right?
For now, sure.
Those guys are gone. Mm-hmm. Taylor Rapp and Cole Bishop. Rapp's, I think, in year five. He's a tough player. You know, he hits people, but, like, he's not on the level of those two other guys. And Cole Bishop is a young player who's still figuring out his way. And there's a lot on those guys. And I think you can, and that's where Hunter Henry or maybe some of that stuff over the middle, where you can get them on the pass plays.
Mike, this is Patriots related, but we'll step outside the confines of Gillette and/or Highmark Stadium and look west. What did you think of last night's game and the best game to date of Michael McCorkle Jones and especially Kendrick Bourne? Hell of a connection the two of them had last night.
Yeah, I mean, it was a little bit of a throwback to year one of Mac, and just in terms of, you know, the connection he had with Kendrick, but probably the best football that Mac's ever played. I think that was a career high for yards for Bourne and matched a career high for catches. It goes to show you what's surrounding an athletically limited quarterback with a, you know, his arm's not the greatest, but, like, he's relatively smart. Like, you give him a guy with that system and you coach him up and you tell him you believe in him, and it's made a difference. What is he, 6 touchdowns, 1 interception, 3-0 as a starter so far? And look, San Francisco's beat up. They got a lot of good players who haven't played with him yet, and they're still winning games. So it's I don't know. I don't know how, if you're sitting in North Carolina in Chapel Hill and you flipped on the TV last night and you go, huh, interesting how that looks now. When I had it, I didn't even want to say the kid's name after year one. So
I think, you know, he took a little shot too with the Pats in his post game comments.
Just
referencing.
I hope so.
Maybe even Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely not true.
Oh, it's true, Bill. He basically said he's, in so many words, getting the best coaching he's ever got.
Oh, well, there's probably some truth to that. Mike, before we let you go, my spies tell me that you cheated on us yesterday, that you were on in drive time in Buffalo. I don't care to hear about that. But also they tell me that maybe the Buffalo radio hosts think that there's a chance that the Patriots could pull the upset this week. Is that true? And do you think there is a chance the Patriots pull the upset?
I think the Buffalo media contingent is a little bit disappointed with the level at which the Bills have played defensively. And I also think there's a little bit, and I've kind of brought this up this week, the last two games, Miami, where they get off this quick start, and you're like, they're going to run out of the building. And the next thing you know, you look up again, and it's like, hey, how's Miami get the ball down 7 and moving it? Like, what happened? Same thing with New Orleans last week. Yep. Jump out to a fast start. They're going to run them right out of that place. And then, again, third quarter, because we've got the Patriots game, I'm doing that, covering that. And I look down at the scoreboard, and I'm like, wait, they're losing? They're losing to the Saints? Mm-hmm. So I think they've been playing with their food a little bit. Your advantage, if they continue to look at you like they've looked at some of these other teams, or maybe Sean McDermott gets their attention this week and says, you know, this is a pretty big game. These guys are coming in loaded for bear, feeling good about themselves. Like, show them who's boss. Remind them who's the team that you have to go through, and you're not on our level yet. So I'm really curious to see how that sort of plays out, because I think they have the talent to, as you mentioned, put up a lot of points on the Patriots can match them at this stage.
All right, so get through the Breslow-Sam Kennedy answer there. Who are you picking?
Well, I was giving you the sort of the inside information from the Buffalo people. I think it's going to be a high scoring game. I think it's going to be relatively close, but I think Buffalo will emerge. And yet, I think we'll be talking on Sunday night, or well, it'll be Monday morning and Monday afternoon about that's not a bad loss.
Moral victory.
Yep. I know moral victories, but like, I think this matters for this football team. Whereas for other teams, we wouldn't. I think it matters for this one because I think it tells them that what Mike's been trying to coach for them and how he wants them to play, that if you do it that way, we can play with anybody. We can stand toe-to-toe with anybody, and then, you know, we'll see what happens after that.
All right, Mike, enjoy the weekend. It's going to be beautiful. Get out on the paddleboard a couple last times on before you head to Buffalo.
I'm off to Buffalo, man. I'm off to...
Hey, were you walking?
Ralph Wilson.
All right, good talk, Mike.
Yeah, that was fun. He must be at Gillette Stadium.
He's with Drake May. He borrowed his phone for a second there. It went so well for so much of it.
You know what, though? I'd want to go cover this game at this time of the year. Not in December.
It's a fun game.
But at this time, early October, please.
Buffalo, Sunday night, Allen versus the guy everybody wants to pretend.
It's going to be gorgeous, by the way. It's going to be like in the 70s.
Oh, yeah, no. It's supposed to touch 80 potentially. Yep. I don't know about in Buffalo, but around here, it's supposed to touch 80 on Sunday.
One of my absolute favorite stadiums to play in.
Me too.
Because they're just right on top of you.
Yes.
Man.
And all these old ones are just getting put away. It's like because it is similar in sort of the bowl structure to Foxborough. The original Buffalo, now they've built up around it and more over the years.
Yeah,
but
that front row is 5 yards from your bench.
Right.
It's right there.
And it's set down into the ground a little bit and that whole thing.
Is this the last year they're going to play in that stadium?
Yeah, then they move into whatever multi-billion dollar modern cool stadium that they probably need and is probably good for them. But it is a little bit sad. It's a cool environment. Coming up here on WEEI Afternoons, we'll break down a couple of the comments that Mike Giardi had there in terms of this Patriots game. Sounds like they're worried in Buffalo, but I'm also worried that what he said about Sean McDermott convincing the Bills of something could become an issue on Sunday night. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Final hour, Jones and Keefe here on WEEI.
What a week.
It really has been. I know we just kind of covered that in the week in review.
Yeah, but no, I mentioned that. But I'm not going to play clips.
But
I'm
it has been quite a week. I agree.
It's been wild. It also flew by. I don't know if that's with the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday big games. 6 o'clock start. Something about it.
Did it? Because, I mean, it,
I don't.
Jones
like
was like, that hot day.
Yeah.
A call feels like
that. I was 2 days ago. I feel the complete opposite.
Disagree.
I don't think it flew by.
Disagree.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I couldn't believe driving CC Beans to school. We're like, it's Pizza Friday? Couldn't believe it today.
It was just Taco Tuesday.
Couldn't believe it.
Now it's Pizza Friday.
Everyone's a flutter.
We got WEEI Afternoons coming your way at 2 o'clock. You got Hart. You got Fitzy. You got Ted. So stay tuned for it. We'll get you the clip du jour, grab bag as well. We're going to be joined shortly out of Patriots Friday by Mike and Wenu. But Pats and Bills Sunday night in Buffalo. Sunday night football. Get ready for the keys.
Woo! Rich Keith, what is going to be a couple of keys?
And now, what are your two keys tonight?
Keith presents.
So you're basically listing like 10 things, and out of those 10, four of them come correct. And you're see, I told you.
Keith's keys.
Today's keys to the game.
Keith's keys.
Time for the keys to the game.
Keys to tonight's game.
Who's going
to
win?
Probably one of the worst segments I've ever heard on Boston Radio.
Only the keys can tell.
There's your key right there.
Keith's keys.
It's Keith's keys.
All right, it is week 5. Patriots come in with a 2-2 record, taking on the Buffalo Bills, who are a perfect 4-0. Depending on where you shop, the Pats are either 7.5, 8, or 8.5 point underdogs. The over-under
is either 48.5, 49, or 49.5.
Wow.
It's an 8:20 p.m. kickoff Sunday night from Highmark Stadium in Orchard Park, New York. All right, the Patriots scored 42 points against Carolina last week. If they generate at least 30 points this week at Buffalo, it'll be their first back-to-back games with at least 30 points since 2020.
Generate.
Bills quarterback Josh Allen is married to actress and singer Haley Steinfeld. For now. ...50% of all marriages end in divorce. And nobody looks at Michael B. Jordan the same way as Haley Steinfeld. Patriots tight end Hunter Henry may be surprised to learn that he enters this week ranked 5th among New England tight ends with 2,409 receiving yards and needs 79 yards this week against Buffalo to move past Jim Whalen into 4th place on the Patriots' all-time list among tight ends.
Jim Whalen's been getting put on notice for a while.
When the Bills cause a turnover on defense this year, they win. When the Bills record at least 350 yards of offense this year, they win. When the Bills take the field this year, they win. If Steph Diggs has 100 yards receiving this week, he'll become the first Patriot with back-to-back 100-yard receiving games in the same season
Wow.
since Julian Edelman did it in 2019.
Sounds right.
The Bills are the only football team that play in New York. So all those loser Yankee fans should also be Bills fans. Josh Allen is 21-7 in primetime games and has the highest quarterback rating compared to 1 or 4 o'clock games. He's the best at night is what I'm saying, Jones. He's the best at night.
He's at his best.
He's at his best at night. At nighttime.
I didn't hear Monday night football in there, but okay.
Primetime.
Primetime.
They're not playing on Monday night either. So far this season, the Patriots are undefeated when Drake May runs in a touchdown, and they haven't won a game when he doesn't. The Buffalo Bills are the only professional sports team where their mascot is based off the name of the city and not the name of the team, and that's real dumb. Linebacker Jack Gibbons and safety Brendan Schooler each finished with 3 special teams tackles last week in a win against Carolina. They will try to become the first Patriot players to have 2 straight games with at least 3 special teams tackles since Matthew Slater had a 3-game streak with at least 3 special teams tackles in 2014.
That was a very memorable run.
Drake May's only primetime experience in the NFL was actually his NFL debut when he replaced Jacoby Brissett in a blowout loss to the Jets in Week 3 last year on Thursday Night Football. Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
Oh, good. Yeah, yeah.
Quarterback Brad Johnson has more Super Bowls than the Buffalo Bills do as a franchise. I don't know what's going on with the Buffalo Bills logo. The animal used is a bison, not a true buffalo. And I can see where the wheel's turning in Jones's head right now asking, what the H is the difference? Well, Jones, a bison has a distinct hump and shorter horns.
I was wondering.
Quarterback Nick Foles has more Super Bowls than the Buffalo Bills do as a franchise. According to Ask Jeeves, the team's name, Bills, is derived from the famous showman Buffalo Bill Cody, who is a significant figure in American history and contributed to the mythology of the American West.
Ask Jeeves had that.
Quarterback Jeff Hostetler has more Super Bowls than the Buffalo Bills do as a franchise. In 2014, there were 7 Bills players with the last name Williams.
7! Wow.
Quarterback Trent Dilfer has more Super Bowls than the Buffalo Bills do as a franchise. If anyone knows sacks, it's Bruce Smith. He has the most. But because of a lackluster performance by Smith on December 28th, 1996, the legend of Tony Boselli grew. Boselli eventually used that game to campaign to become a Hall of Famer. Bruce Smith didn't care for that, saying, quote, resorting to underhanded tactics like targeting a Hall of Famer and hyping a 1-game matchup to bolster a nominee's merit, as some of Tony's supporters have done, undermines the integrity of the Hall's election process It also invites otherwise unnecessary commentary and scrutiny around the candidate's worthiness of becoming a member of the Hall of Fame.
Hear, hear. Amen.
And finally, Jones, there'll be no Derek's in the game on Sunday. So if you're looking for some Derek football, you're going to have to go somewhere else.
Cool. Add it up. I think the Pats cover the 7.5, 8, or 8.5.
Yeah, yeah, I don't.
Yeah, you don't.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, I don't.
No,
like
I don't
that.
Think so. I think the Bills win.
Bills don't have any Derek's.
True.
Yeah.
True. I think the Bills win, and I'll take the over. I think a 31-21.
Which over?
Over all of them.
Over all of them.
I'm covering my bases here. 31-21 would put him over all of them.
Now, I noticed your ex-wife didn't get any flack this week.
No,
noticed,
she didn't.
I noticed that. I was kind of waiting for
she
it.
She stayed out of it.
Yeah,
she stayed out of it this time.
I was kind of expecting something thrown onto the field.
No.
I was trying to connect.
Oh, that's a good one, actually.
To your ex-wife.
That would have been good.
But okay.
I didn't realize Josh Allen also a vampire.
Yeah, good at night.
So you said
real good at
you
night.
You said prime time. I thought I heard Sunday
time.
Night football. So he's good. Prime time. Man's great.
Prime time is easy.
Even better than 1 or 4 o'clock.
Killer.
But I would be curious how that breaks down. Maybe they'll play him again.
Yeah.
Thursday night, Monday night,
yep.
Sunday night. I'd just be curious to hear those figures.
No, don't have that for you.
That
but I did have the
covered.
Overall numbers, which is impressive, as has his whole career.
I'll tell you, what was your fact there? They're the only team that plays football in New York.
That's it.
Yeah, so all of those dumb Yankees fans should also be Bills fans.
Yankee Bills fans.
I have one friend who is both.
That's rare.
It's very rare.
It's very rare. I feel like it's... sick
brag, shout out Evan. When he was a young boy,
okay.
His father told him that the Jets and Giants don't play. He's like, wait a minute, they don't even play in New York?
That's a good point.
And he asked his dad, who plays in New York? He said the Bills, he became a Bills fan.
Bills fan?
Yeah.
Some lean years there.
Real lean years.
Yeah, because usually it's what? Yankees, Giants, Mets, Jets.
Correct.
And then Bills, Blue Jays?
Bills, and I don't even know.
I don't even know who your squad is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it could be a big weekend for them. Yeah, Blue Jays, Bills fans. You got the Jays playing.
Oh, I hadn't even thought about that.
Early 90s, both teams were real nice, and they've both kind of taken a little bit of a detour.
We already know that Brian Roberts was the announcer willing to go there about the Jays fans and Canadians in general and their lack of baseball knowledge. Who wants to go there?
You think the Yankee fans will get after him a little bit?
Well, you're sticking in baseball. I was going to say, because some Bills fans might also be Jays fans. Some Jays fans might be Bills. Who wants to get on their intellect when it comes to,
I don't know,
American football, not Canadian football?
Are there any celebrity Bills fans?
I feel like Steinfeld.
Well,
that's the one for now.
But she's not a Bills fan.
I don't know if you heard.
Josh Allen.
50% of marriages end in divorce. I don't know if you heard
it's
that.
It's sad but true.
Yeah.
It is one of those stats that you don't want to hear, but it is the reality of, I don't know what it is. Maybe blame social media.
So quick little
Google this is good.
AI.
Yeah, give it to us.
John Cusack.
Oh,
wait a minute. Hold on. Sorry to cut you off, Bill. John Cusack, I believe, is from Chicago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he likes the Bills?
Revealed in 2021, he's a member of the Bills Mafia.
Oh, please. He's 2021, when the team got good.
He's a great friend of Jeremy Piven. We didn't ask Jeremy Piven.
I think there was a falling out.
Friends.
Oh, they had a falling out. They were at one point. Okay.
Chad Michael Murray.
The guy from One Tree Hill?
The guy from Cinderella Story?
Yeah. And House of Wax remake?
I think so.
Okay.
Wolf Blitzer.
Yeah, yeah, he's from Buffalo.
Yeah, okay.
Abby Wambach,
the soccer player. Yeah, she's from Rochester.
Jordan Burroughs.
Who?
No, I'm just reading off the names.
All right.
The late
Who's
Tim.
Jordan Burroughs.
The late Tim Russert, big Bills fan in the sky.
Also from Buffalo.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's one.
Summer Sanders.
The swimmer.
and figure it out, Nickelodeon.
Wait.
Nickelodeon's
Did Summer Sanders also do NBA Inside Stuff?
That's what I was just going to say. Was that Summer Sanders?
Okay.
She was great.
That's what I was just going to say.
What a great show that
was.
That
was a good show.
Maybe the best show.
Robbie Amell? That's the other athlete that they have listed with Summer Sanders?
So Robbie Amell.
Jordan Burroughs is also an athlete. He's an American wrestler. Like, actual.
Oh, that's a male.
Wrestling. Like a Greco wrestling.
Jordan Burroughs. Jones like, go on. It's like, it's just like a big dude. Oh, Robbie Amell is Stephen Amell's brother.
Robbie Amell. Okay, good. Thank you.
Robbie Amell. So Stephen Amell is the Green Arrow, and he's also in Heels. Robbie Amell's not in as many great roles, but there's that scene that you see. There's some like random like teen show, and people use it as a meme all the time.
Oh, I would recognize the meme.
You would recognize the meme of the guy throwing the ball like he's never thrown a ball before. Like he throws a football, he kind of like pushes it. You're like, that's the wrong hand, sir.
Got it.
Might want to switch. That's him.
Got it.
Yeah. Christine Baranski.
Oh, I love from Sybil.
How about that?
Christine Baranski is excellent. She was like the co-star in Sybil.
Yeah, sure.
Also, is very good in Cruel Intentions.
Yeah.
As the mom.
Yeah, what's her name's mom? What's the actress's name?
Selma Blair.
Thank you.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Her mother, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Poker player Phil Ivey.
Oh, Phil Ivey's good poker
nice.
Player.
Can't read his fandom with the glasses on.
No.
You'd never know he's a Bills fan behind those things.
That's a good point. Doesn't give it away.
No.
What are you sitting on there?
What are you like? Wait, what are you, a Jets fan over there?
What do you got? 2-7 unsuited? You got a flush. What do you got?
Sure. That's it?
So that's a good list.
Good list.
That's pretty much it.
So if they make the Super Bowl, look out. You're going to have all these guys showing up.
Yeah.
That's a tough go. I mean, it's going to be the Haley Steinfeld show, I guess.
Summer Sanders.
Summer Sanders, though.
Nice. Real nice.
Nice.
Okay.
That Robbie Amell show is called The Duff.
The Duff. Good Lord.
That didn't make it, huh?
No, just okay. Missed.
It sounds like a winner. That sounds like a good show.
Uh-huh.
All right. Kyle in Dartmouth. Hello.
How you guys doing? I got some good news for y'all.
Okay, cool.
Hey, listen, when the Yankees make it to Seattle, that's where I'm from,
cool.
They're going to enter a real ballpark, and Kyle Raleigh's going to win the AL MVP because he's going to frame the hell out of Aaron Judge. Listen, they're not making it past Seattle. It's going to be 95 all over again with Edgar Martinez in the dugout. Listen, they're not hitting our rotation. They're not going to hit our bullpen either. So, let's go, Seattle. Right. I love the Sox. I do. But
good Mariners take.
Bring it home, yeah?
All right, Kyle in Dartmouth. Good Mariners.
I think
good
he
Mariner
said listen
there.
Six times, and I'll tell you, sir, I was five
or six. No. Seven or eight.
I was
good
locked
call.
In.
Let me ask you.
Listen to this.
Do you think?
Listen to me. No, listen.
Do you
listen
think to me. That he called the show because he knows we're like the number one dumper show? You think that's why?
We do like Big Dumper.
You think we've
got my MVP vote.
We've kind of carved out mine as well.
Sure.
Yeah.
Unanimous?
We hate to let people know that. We don't want our votes taken away. Do you think we've carved out like a section with Mariners fans because we're so pro dumper?
Probably.
I bet that's where that came
from. Did you
from.
When we did our top five mascots last week, did you consider the Mariner Moose?
Did not.
Good
I mean, I hate to say it. You did.
I considered him.
Okay.
Didn't make it, but I'm saying it's a good mascot.
You thought about it.
Yeah, so they go out to
that
Seattle.
Crossed your mind.
I'll take Seattle in that series. Just like 95, although it didn't go great for the Mariners after that.
Yeah, I've gone back. I kind of want the Yankees to beat the Blue Jays just to go a little further and fall flat on their face and justify a little bit that the Red Sox lost to them. That would make me feel a little better.
But then have Seattle stomp them.
No, but once you get to the ALCS and heaven forbid the World Series,
then
you can full on root against them. Do you think the Red Sox, A, losing to the Yankees, or B, the Yankees going on a deep run, helps in any way with John Henry and his commitment to spending and investing in this team next year?
I kind of do. Like, and maybe it's my own naivete, but I feel like making the playoffs shows that they are pretty close, and maybe they would look at it and say, hey, unlike Chaim Bloom, your guy, Jones, Craig Breslow, got him to this point. You see some of the positives there. You realize you have Roman Anthony locked up long-term, Garrett Crochet locked up long-term, a couple other pieces that you like, and you're not that far away. And I think if you're John Henry, too, you're like, you had to watch three games in Yankee Stadium. It's got to kind of piss you off. Like, you made the playoffs, but you don't even have a home game, right? You don't even have a home game?
Was he there? Do we know?
I have no
idea. I mean, when they
asked... I'm sure somebody told him about the game.
Well, when they asked Breslow on Tuesday, when Breslow was on, they're like, is Henry going to be there? And Breslow's like, I don't know. He's like, I think we're going to be well-represented. I don't know. I never saw any footage of him. I'm not saying he wasn't there, but I genuinely don't know if he was there or not. But yeah, I'm sure by now somebody's emailed him with a final. And let him know. So you feel pretty good when you put out your roster earlier, Keith. You did it last night on Twitter at Keith21. We talked about it earlier in the show. But because they lost to the Yankees, you feel a little better about Pete Alonso, first baseman, Joe Ryan trade.
Yeah, definitely. And it annoyed me at the time last year and the year before that when they were so bad during the trade deadlines. But then when they went back to the White Sox and got Garrett Crochet, I mean, that is a much better player than Joe Ryan. It's going to cost you a lot more than Joe Ryan. And now you circle back and you say, all right, it's not going to cost you Peyton Tolley. Or maybe it does, but like less other guys or whatever. Right? I think the overall asking price is going to be a little bit lower. But I think they go out and they get him. And then I think they see there's clear needs that they need another bopper. They need another big bat. And Pete Alonso's out there. Bo Bichette's out there. There's a few other guys that they could get. Maybe Kyle Tucker to improve the team. And I you know, a lot of it's wishful thinking, but I think they will.
You see that text about the Mariner Moose?
Second, oh, is that true?
Third one down.
Yeah, he tried to murder Coco Crisp with an ATV. Is that true?
Billy's nodding. You recall this?
I remember the video of that, yeah.
Does that move him up or down your list? I kind of like Coco Crisp.
Oh, well, I like Coco Crisp too, but I also like a ridiculous mascot that just flies around.
You like a mascot who's like a little dangerous.
Yeah.
You don't really know if you can fully trust him on what he's doing.
Let's see. Here it is. Video. Coco Crisp collides with Mariner Moose on an ATV.
Is that an accurate description based on the video? Or
I'm watching it now.
Did the ATV collide with him, or did he collide with the ATV? I think the wording there is important.
Well, he's flying around the outside. He's on like the track. He's in foul territory.
He definitely collided with Coco Crisp.
Oh God!
The pedestrians run into the cars, or the cars hit the pedestrians.
We got it up. We got it up on Twitch.
So wait, you got to wait till he comes all the way around. Okay. You can keep playing it from here, but he goes all the way around the backstop. Well,
He's really taking the circuitous route here,
the scenic route.
Yeah,
as it were. He's getting the fans into it a little bit, but I think he's got his eyes off the road. Here comes Crisp.
He's handling pretty good.
There goes Crisp. We got him.
So he was coming out of the dugout.
Oh, Crisp kind of runs it off. I don't think it was anything too significant.
I think if
he just threw his glove. Oh no, he didn't. He thought about throwing his glove.
I think if I got run over by the Mariner Moose in front of 30,000 people or whatever, I'd try to play it off too, but that couldn't have felt good. Look at this.
What he should have done was like Ace Ventura when he beat up the eagle at the end of the
You got jacked up.
He should have tried to fight him. Mascots fight or any kind of violence within mascots is usually good.
Wow, good pull by the Texan. I don't remember that at all.
Mariner Moose.
How about that?
Maybe they stopped doing ATVs at the ballpark. Maybe they sort of walked that back. They're like, yeah, you guys can climb up on the dugout if you want.
Philly Fanatic already did that.
Well,
Fanatic's
got that hot dog launch that he drives around with.
That's a good point.
That's also true.
617-779-7937. We did a Top 5 Friday earlier today. No, it wasn't mascots. That was last week. Top 5 Friday, though, today was the most hated Yankees. Seek those out. At Jones and Keith. Patriots Friday. Mike on one TBD.
All right, Big Mike.
You do have WEEI afternoons, though, at 2 o'clock, so stay locked in. You got Hart. You got Fitzy. You got Ted. We'll get you the clip du jour. And right after trending with Billy Lanny, it's time for Grab Bag.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.